the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Tuesday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian. David Dawson. Damian's not present.
Damian is out for today and tomorrow. Good morning, Gabby. It's just me. happy Saint. Happy Pope Saint Pius V. I never get the Pope and the Saint part right with any of the popes here, but nevertheless, he's a saint. And happy feast day, Gabby.
Happy feast day. It's also International Jazz Day, so that's something that's exciting.
Well, that's kind of appropriate. Kind of appropriate for the New Orleans area. That's for darn sure. Yeah. All right. You ready to pray?
Yes.
Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh God, who in your providence raised up Pope St. Pius V in your church that faith might be safeguarded and more fitting worship be offered to you, grant through his intercession that we may participate in your mysteries with lively faith and fruitful charity. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. Father, amen. Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Big lineup today?
Yes, we do. We have a wonderful show starting off with some events in our listening area we will give you details about. You can go to ccmedia.live, click on events and news, and take a look at that calendar. There are a plethora of them taking place in our listening area, especially this time of year, so definitely take a look at those. In 18 minutes, Mike Thomas joins us. He's a member of the Catholic Land Movement. He's going to be talking about their upcoming conference and connecting to God through nature. So we'll be continuing this discussion with Mike today. In 35 minutes, Shayla Elm joins us. She's the coordinator of the Juan Diego route of the National Eucharistic Procession, which is the route that will pass through our listening area, going through kind of like northern Louisiana. It'll go through Beaumont and then Lafayette, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, along the Gulf Coast, even through the Diocese of Biloxi, Diocese of Mobile. So it's really hitting all of the wonderful listening points of our listening area, so we'll give you details about that.
I wonder when it heads north. It's got to head north sooner or later, but I guess we'll find that
eventually.
We'll find that out.
Eventually, there are various routes. She is in charge of our route, and she will give us all of the details. Of course, highly encourage everyone to take a look at their own diocese, because each diocese is doing something different, and the dates are actually available. So you can go to the National Eucharistic Revival Procession updated website. They have the dates on there of when it will pass through your listening area, your diocese. But take a look at within your diocese, because you guys will be doing something specific. So
absolutely,
if that makes sense. Okay. All right. And Jason Angela.
Except for say the name of the route again. Say it again.
Oh, the Juan Diego route.
I just like the way you say it.
Yes.
I just say Juan. You throw a little, you kind of get that little accent.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, Juan. Of course, you got to say it correctly. Well. So, and then, of course, we can't forget our last guest for today, Jason Angelet. He's a wonderful, good friend and supporter of Catholic Community Media, and he's with the Wildwoods community. He's going to be talking about some upcoming marriage retreats, supper and substance, and different ways of connecting with your spouse. I have to say, these are highly anticipated retreats. Dave, you and Lisa have been on a few of them.
Oh, yeah.
I have heard nothing but wonderful things about them.
They're really good.
It'll be really great to connect with Jason once again, just seeing how he's doing and what the Wildwoods community is up to, which is, of course, great things. So stay with us. We have the Gospel and Reflection coming up right after the break. It is 5 past the hour on Wake Up.
A good Tuesday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you I am going away and I will come back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens you may believe. I will no longer speak much with you, for the ruler of the world is coming. He has no power over me, but the world must know that I love the Father, and that I do just as the Father has commanded me." We've heard the Gospel, and now we reflect.
The Greek word that is translated as peace is used 92 times in the New Testament. It is connected with the Old Testament Hebrew word shalom, which not only means peace, but well-being and completeness. This important biblical idea focuses on our interior spiritual welfare rather than the cessation of warfare and strife, which is the elusive secular understanding of peace. St. Augustine called it the tranquility of order in his City of God. Above all, in the Old Testament, peace is the result of the blessing that came from fidelity to God's commandments. Psalm 35 saying that God desired peace for all his people. However, the Old Testament prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Haggai foresaw that only the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, would bring the peace God's people longed for. Building on the Old Testament understanding of peace, the New Testament envisions peace as an expression of order and harmony which finds its fulfillment in Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus restored peace between God and man. And so St. Paul wrote that Christ reconciled all things to himself, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by his blood on the cross. Because Jesus made peace a quality that resides in us by the presence of the Holy Spirit, a Christian can remain interiorly undisturbed amid the strife of this world. Jesus reassured us, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus used peace as a greeting. Peace be to you. Christians are called to live in God's peace with one another and to bring peace to our troubled and conflicted world. St. Paul charged us, "Strive for peace with all men and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord." Here is our challenge, to become carriers of peace radiating holiness. Well, how are we doing? Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker and Jimmy Sagers, for today's Gospel and a reflection. I think we need to be radiating peace a little bit more often these days.
Yes.
Just to spread that joy and cheer, pass it along. And one of the ways to do that is by trying new things, right, David?
Absolutely.
Like the summer online auction that we have coming up this summer. It's actually very exciting. So this is something very new that we have. We will reveal dates as time goes on. But right now, we are in need of some items for our online auction, and we have received some, but we need, you know, the more the merrier, right?
Yeah,
so if you have an item for our summer online auction, you can go to ccmedia.live right at the top of the homepage to the right. There's a button that says click here to donate items for our summer online auction. You just click there. It's a very brief short form. Won't take you long to fill out. And tell us what items you have. It can be rosaries, kneelers, little, you know, trinkets. What do you suggest? Other little things that we can have, paintings.
I like trips to the beach, you know, trips to the beach.
Oh, I was thinking religious items.
It is
trips
religious.
Trips to the beach.
It can be sacred. You know, it all depends on what you do.
Yes.
Yeah. But, you know. Hey, look, even a retreat, you know. Get behind a retreat, you know, and finance that. That would be fantastic. But we already do have some items coming in. That is pretty exciting. And y'all, some of the stuff is really cool. But yeah, the more the merrier, because these online auctions, they're a lot of fun. So yeah, please check it out.
Definitely check it out. Mm-hmm. Well, David, another event that I know that is going to be helping a lot of people is the Beginning Experience event. And I've been hearing a lot about this lately.
Yeah, they're having a program on May 17th through the 19th, and that's to help those who are separated, divorced, or widowed. This is a wonderful retreat weekend for that. And a lot of folks have suffered a loss like this, and they feel left out by their church, or they feel uneasy around married friends and uncertain about their future. And Beginning Experience can help you through this. And I know people who have attended this, and this has really, really helped them out in their lives. So to register for the session and to get some more information, just go to ccmedia.live, and we're going to point you in the right direction.
Yes. Our Lady of Hope Catholic Retreat Center over in Chattanooga, Mississippi is having a Family Day Mass and May crowning on Sunday, May 5th. There will be lunch following the Mass and the May crowning. The Mass begins at 11:45, so definitely check that out. They encourage you to RSVP for the event. The date did just pass to RSVP, but it never hurts to call.
You know what? Check. Yes. Yeah.
Try.
Absolutely check. Because I mean, this is an outdoor event, and I'm sure, well, just give it a shot, you know.
There you go.
Gabby, I just love our Catholic faith, and I love our Catholic traditions. Now, when I was a kid, I don't remember much about May crownings. So this resurgent of this is just fantastic. And I'm seeing beautiful ones happening all over the country. And they usually turn into wonderful, wonderful family events. You know, it's just a beautiful thing to do. And it's just yet another thing that we as Catholics live
I love it.
Daily. Isn't that fantastic?
So, I always loved it. Even as a child, we would do May crownings every year. I think it was the eighth grade class would always do the May crowning, and they would always place a crown of flowers on top of the statue of Mary, her head. And I always thought, oh my gosh, what a beautiful crown. That's like the prettiest crown I've ever seen.
Yep.
And you know, when you're a little girl, many of us want to be princesses. And so I thought that was the ultimate crown. So that is a wonderful event. Definitely check out the May crowning. It's something you will never forget. And it's maybe a tradition that you will want to continue with your family.
I'm going to crown our lady out here in front of our studios. We have a statue of our lady. I'm going to put a crown on her.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I like that. Well, stay tuned. Mike Thomas joins us. When we return from the break, we will learn more about the Catholic Land Movement. It is 15 past the hour on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for April 30th. Today we celebrate Pope St. Pius V. Times of change and challenge call for strong leadership and clear vision. Today's saint needed those qualities and more during his papacy. It was his task to implement the decrees from the Council of Trent and to help get a shattered and scattered church back on its feet. The church was reeling from internal corruption, the wounds of the Reformation, and the constant threat of Turkish invasion. Determined to carry out the sweeping reforms of Trent, Pius ordered the founding of seminaries for the proper training of priests. He published a new missal, new breviary, new catechism, and established CCD classes for the young. He cracked down on abuses in the church. Himself a Dominican friar, Pope Pius brought a new simplicity into the papal household and insisted that, where possible, monies be directed to the poor and to religious houses in need. He spent long hours in prayer. He did not dress in flowing papal robes, but continued to wear his white Dominican habit, thus establishing a custom that continues to this day. Pius V died in 1572 and was canonized 140 years later. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. We are so glad that you are joining us on this beautiful Tuesday morning. I'm Gabby Smith. along with David Dawson. And our next guest, well, our first guest today is Mike Thomas. He's part of the Catholic Land Movement. And this was actually a guest suggestion from one of our viewers. And we're so grateful. Mike, good morning. Thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Gabby. I'm excited to be here and talk with you guys.
Well, tell us a little bit about the Catholic Land Movement. I wasn't familiar about it until it was kind of brought to my attention that I should take a look into it a little bit more.
Great. Well, I'm happy that you have, and I'm delighted to be here to tell you a little bit more. So the Catholic Land Movement is a restoration effort of a movement and a set of associations that occurred 100 years ago. Many of us are familiar with Pope Pius XIII and his wonderful Pope Leo XIII and his wonderful encyclicals that urged Catholics to, live out a work with dignity, that urged the social order to connect people with productive property. And 100 years ago, a set of Catholics took those encyclicals and felt like they needed a practical expression. And they began to train Catholics in agrarian and domestic skills and help place them on homesteads throughout the English countryside. Well, we all know the events of, the 1940s. And so the Catholic Land Movement kind of diminished. And recently, a group of people across the country have reestablished this idea, picked it up on the push towards there's a reemergence of people and people's discernments, particularly Catholics, around reconnecting with simple life close to the soil, the homesteading skills. And this is something I think all of us are kind of witnessing. And so what the Catholic Land Movement does is give people a vessel, a tested by time, and something to plug into that helps guide them along that journey towards a deeper connection to their dominion and creation. And so there's workshops on how to slaughter animals or plow your fields or grow vegetables or can. And so different parish communities use the Catholic Land Movement organizing rubric to organize these speakers and people who have these skills and share with one another. And that's really what the Land Movement is a series of chapters in various parishes where Catholic fellowship around this trending back to humble simplicity, close to creation, grounded in Catholic doctrine and Catholic sacraments and liturgy, growing together as parish communities. Mm-hmm. And the Catholic Land Movement gives people a rubric to kind of follow to engage that course. And so we have chapters, we have dozens of chapters all over the world, England, Ireland, East Coast, West Coast, North, South. There's almost. I don't want to say all 50 states, but I do have an Alaskan chapter starting sometime soon.
Wow! So
my goodness!
Yeah. What do you grow in Alaska, Mike?
I think salmon. If I understand it. Salmon and timber.
Oh.
exploding.
You were 100. You are 100% right. It's so interesting. The Holy Spirit kind of, I always say, books the guests. I book the guests, but he helps me. And there has just been
a trend
of this in my inbox, and I'm not looking for it. It's from publicists that I'm very familiar with, people that I trust that are talking about this. And we have been discussing it more and more and more. Now our listening area is so diverse in city life and urban life, suburban life, rural life, that I think that this is a reality or an interest of people, for many people who are listening to us as well. I mean, I had friends who had chicken coops growing up.
Yeah.
We didn't have one, but then there's one down the street from me. I know that we have family members that can and grow herbs and they have a cow and all this. Why go back to the basics, Mike? Why is that happening, you think?
Well, I think that there's several reasons why it's happening. If I were to pinpoint in our recent times, I think all of us are familiar with the kind of pressing force of consolidation into very, very large systems of exchange, meaning like our our very basic primary things, our food, our fuel, our homes, we are getting further and further away from basic skill sets that we are able to engage to cultivate these things. And so when we work closely with nature, when we work closely to primary things, it has an ordering effect on ourselves, our souls, on our families, on our communities. And so in that is it invites that perfection of grace to the person who's participating in a humble way. Christ tells us so many times, be humble. Humble, if we go to the root of the word, is humus, is earth. So be simple, be humble. And so going back to those simple things is a way to deepen our relationship to Catholic virtue and deepen the cultivation of our eternal souls. And that's really the context that the land movement sees things in, where you might get other gardening programs or other things that leaves out this critical component that really what all of this stuff is about is actually cultivating our Catholic virtue and then pointing ourselves to our Father, and saying, we're doing this to glorify you. And so in that, we find this wellspring. These things are hard, to milk a cow every day grow your vegetables. These aren't easy things. And so by plugging into the Catholic faith, we can find a wellspring, a bottomless ocean of inspiration, support, and mercy that can carry us through the difficulties. And so the Catholic land movement is like a network of homesteaders all supporting each other in that journey, deepening our liturgical life together, deepening our participation with virtue, deepening our participation with creation and dominion. And in that, we find a relief from many of the stresses of the modern world in that, your kids would much rather go collect eggs in the morning than get plugged in from your chicken coop, than get plugged into, Paw Patrol or whatever.
Yeah.
This richness emerges, an ordering of your life and your family emerges when you participate in kind of humble relationship with creation and stewardship. And so that's what the land movement's all about.
Mike, I can tell you, I know two different couples that have left the corporate life. Two different married couples. They've left the corporate life and just started a farm simply because they said, we're done. Now, it's not Amish. They didn't go Amish or anything. I mean, they still have all the comforts and everything that they need, but the peace that it brought them is amazing, and they fascinated me. It's a risk. Granted, it's a risk, but what isn't? But it's as you say, it's a risk.
Trust.
It's a trust, and Gabby, that just nailed it. So what you guys are like, like a co-op, or are you just a source of information? Yet at the same time, you're bringing Christ into it. Is that the gist of it?
Yeah, each chapter, we use Catholic social principles around organizing. So using subsidiarity to organize, each chapter, whether it's in Pennsylvania or New Hampshire or New York, looks a little different.
Okay.
One chapter might use a listserv to swap livestock and cook up workshops and other things. Another chapter might be primarily a reading group that's, reading John Senior and books from IHS Press or whatever. And then still yet another group might be focused completely around a conference day or getting speakers to come to their parish and talk about, raising food on 5 acres or whatever. So each chapter, due to subsidiarity, looks a little different. Mm. What the land movement is not is a kind of formal organization looking to have a big staff and a big budget.
Good.
What we're doing is saying, cabbage, cabbage, cabbage. We're pushing people to action. And so we have an organizing rubric that really pushes people to do things. I want to respond real quickly to the idea that the Spirit is moving in this and that you're witness of the Spirit moving in this. And so when things are beautiful, true, and good, those three things line up, we see their emergence over and over and over again throughout time. They will always reemerge. No matter how much they're beaten down, the true, the beautiful, and the good will always kind of reemerge. And so what we're seeing in response to some of the ugliness in our world right now is this reemergence of Catholics being drawn to a simple life close to the earth. And that's a very powerful witness because it's happening everywhere.
Wow.
Many, many people are having the same discernment. So you can kind of, you can say in a very pragmatic way, look at it, it's happening everywhere. And it seemingly isn't unorganized. You know,
So
as good Catholics, we add hierarchy and organization and rubric. And then the other thing that I would say just about the Holy Spirit.
I'm sorry for interrupting you, but we've run out of time and have to go. The computer pushes us out. But Catholic Land Movement.info. I linked it in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video. Mike, thank you so much for being with us. Mike Thomas is part of the Catholic Land Movement. Thank you so much, Mike, for all that you do. And we look forward, hopefully we'll be speaking to you again in the future. Thank you.
Thanks, Gabby. God bless you all.
I love birds in the background helped. You know, I like that.
Perfect Nat sound for the interview.
Yes.
Amazing.
It gave me peace.
Right. Me too. I loved it. Okay. Stay with us because we are talking about the National Eucharistic Procession coming through our listening area with Shayla Elm. It is 1:30 on Wake Up.
Past the hour, you are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, along with Gabby Smith. Right now, we have Shayla Elm. She's a coordinator of the Juan Diego Route for the National Eucharistic Procession. Good morning, Shayla.
Good morning.
Hey, Shayla.
I got so excited. I'm joking here. Excuse me. Oh, the magic of live radio. Okay, anyway, good morning, Shayla. Thank you for joining us. This is very exciting. This is all coming together, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. So many people have had their hands in this, and it's the Lord's will. It's all coming together.
Wow, that is fantastic. Okay, let's talk about the route. Some folks are just now tuning in and have never heard about this before. But this is a Eucharistic procession. You're going to start, and tell us exactly the starting point, where it starts.
Yes, so this is a Eucharistic procession. We are starting, my route will start in Brownsville, Texas. So basically, the border of Texas and Mexico. And then we are making our way up the Gulf Coast along Texas, and then we'll kind of come over into Louisiana right after Texas.
Right. I'm seeing stops in Louisiana. It looks like Lake Charles. Then you're going to go down to the Houma area, Houma-Thibodaux Diocese, and then you're coming up to, I'm in Baton Rouge presently, so you'll be coming up into Baton Rouge. You're heading to another area where our radio station is in New Orleans. And then you're going all the way through the Biloxi Diocese, Gulfport, all these stops it looks like you're making, all the way up to Mobile, right?
Yes, you got it right.
Then you head north. Okay.
There's that sharp turn.
There's that sharp turn. Okay, I was wondering when you guys knew eventually you had to do this, but how long is this process, the procession, take?
Yeah, so we are starting May 19th is the first day, and we will end almost exactly 2 months later on, I believe, July 16th is when we arrive to Indianapolis.
Okay, and a lot of it is... this is the confusing part. Some is by vehicle. It has to be, I'm sure. But then a lot is on foot, like a procession, like a Eucharistic walking procession?
Yeah, you got it. So there, we have a team of us. So there will be six Eucharistic perpetual pilgrims is what we're called.
Perpetual pilgrims. I like that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are six young adults that have been selected to be on this route for the entirety of the route. And so we start, we're the ones starting in Texas and making our way all the way through all of these states. And yeah, we will be walking as much as we can. And a lot of the times when we are walking, that will be when we're going through the city so we can, you know, bear witness to Jesus in the world. And then maybe in those longer stretches, we might drive for an hour or two to get to our next point. So we have a van that will be able to carry us. And then when we're, yeah, when we're not walking, we might drive short distances, but for majority of the time, we will be walking.
My goodness, that is a lot. I hope you're in shape for this, and you got a good pair of shoes. That is a long route that you're going to be doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, okay, so as an average person, you're going to be coming through our area. What is this going to look like to me? I'm going to go on the side of the road, and what am I going to see as you guys come by?
Well, yeah. I mean, I know Louisiana knows all about parades. I've been there myself, and so.
So you gotta throw things as you go along. If you're gonna do it like in Louisiana, I'm kidding. Don't throw things.
We're just gonna be. Yeah, we'll just be throwing grace as we walk by.
There you go. Okay, good.
But what it will look like, it'll definitely look much more reverent than a parade.
I hope so.
But we are wanting, anyone to come out and walk with us.
Okay.
We have been coordinating with the diocese, and they are helping us pick the routes, what are the best ways to go. You know, turn by turn, the diocese has had their hand in this as well to help us decide what routes we are walking, what each day will look like. And basically, every day might look a little bit different, but there will be a day, a part of major procession for about a mile, and then we might do a minor procession, Eucharistic procession for like another 10 miles. So the public is welcome to go to the website online to look at what is available to the public, and they're able to sign up just so we can kind of have an idea of numbers of who will be coming with us, and they are welcome just to come and walk with the Lord.
Okay.
So I love that. Shayla, well, there are four routes, David. So there's one starting in California over on the West Coast. Then we have one in Texas, one in Minnesota, and then they have one starting in Connecticut. Shayla, how did you go about choosing these routes? Because there are some states who the route doesn't even go through it. We're blessed to even have multiple states in our listening area that will experience this. But how did you go about choosing the routes?
Yeah, so actually, I did not have a hand in that personally. So I know that they were working with many dioceses to see like what would be the best way to kind of make it across the country while also hitting as many of these dioceses as we can, and doing it in still under 2 months. Mm-hmm. So if you take a look at the map route, it actually makes a cross across the country. That was intentional. So we wanted to go from the north, south, east, west, and right at the center of those four is, it's a little bit off center of the country, but we end in Indianapolis. And so the point was to bless the country in the shape of a cross.
Beautiful, beautiful.
I love it. Well, I think our route is the most beautiful route because you hit all the beaches along the Gulf. Well, up until Mobile, so you get to see some beautiful landscape as well instead of fields and you know Minnesota. No, I love Minnesota. I love being there. So anyway, but you have the best route. So Shayla, where can we go to maybe find out more information and be a part of this? This is something that's has this ever happened in your lifetime, David? It hasn't happened in mine yet.
No. This is so very unique. Yeah.
This has never really happened in the history of the church. And so this is something that is monumental both for the U.S. church and the universal church. To have a pilgrimage with Jesus exposed for this long has never really happened. And so I really want to invite anyone who's thinking about it to come and join us, because this is a moment in history where I'm so blessed to get to be a part of, and I want to bless many others and to get to be a part of it as well. If you're wanting to come and join us, you just go to eucharisticpilgrimage.org. And you can click on that Juan Diego route, and you'll find your way over to the Louisiana area or wherever you're looking to join us. My parents are actually coming to join us in Mississippi. So
wonderful!
And they're from North Dakota, so you can come from anywhere.
So cool.
Yep. That is, I love that. Yeah, that is really neat. Now, we can go to your website and we can see exactly when you're coming through. In other words, right? And so we can make our plans accordingly.
Correct. And it is day by day, and you can see what we're doing on each day. And we'll be coming through at like the end of May, early June, I believe, is when we're coming through Louisiana.
Right. And we'll be keeping everybody abreast of all the details of when everybody, you know, what to expect and exactly what time it's going to be happening and such, because what a wonderful, wonderful event, Shyla. You got to be honored to be involved with it, huh?
I'm absolutely honored and feel unworthy and so blessed.
Wow.
Oh,
well, God bless you.
Well, a lot of I was going to say a lot of parishes are so excited about this, Shyla. Yeah. They have t-shirts made. We're getting ready over in this route.
Yes. Yes, beautiful. That is great. Beautiful. Well, get yourself in shape, Shyla, and God bless you for all you've done, and we will see you soon.
Thank you. Please pray for the Juan Diego team.
Yes, indeed. Yes. All right. Gabby, isn't that amazing? This is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to do everything we can to keep everybody abreast and to do some coverage for this. So looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. So, all right. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Jason Angelette. We have some marriage retreats coming up that are just fantastic. Well, it is 45 past the hour on Wake Up. Past the hour, you are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, along with Gabby Smith. Right now, we are joined by Jason Angelette. He's with the Will Moods community, and we're going to be talking about a lot of upcoming events and marriage retreats. Good morning, Jason.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for having me on. This is so good to be with you guys.
Oh, it's good to have you back on again. Will Woods has a lot going on, and a lot of it supports family. Talk about that.
Oh, praise God. Yeah, so we have two retreats coming up in May for couples, May 18th and 19th, mm-hmm. over at the St. Joseph Abbey, and then immediately following the next weekend, the 25th and 26th. So, you know, all that information, you can go on our website at faithandmarriage.org. We also have June and two weekends in June and two weekends in July for couples retreats. And then we have coming up the end of July, July 26th, Friday, we'll have our 15th annual diocesan-wide Supper and Substance at Rock and Bowl. So our annual big date night that we're hosting. And we just I just got confirmation from my brother-in-law, Jean Charbonnet, and his wife, Janice, that they're going to be our speaker couples for this year. So they bring such joy and excitement, and just they're so spirit-filled and such a beautiful presentation that they normally give for us on retreats, and they're gonna provide that enriched beauty and with us on the diocesan-wide Rock and Bowl event coming up on July 26th.
Those are so much fun. I can't believe you've been doing that for 15 years, but they are so much of fun. There's a lot of food. There's a lot of visiting. It's a great place to go on a date.
Yes.
Bowling, you're going to wind up dancing, and it's just, I don't know, it is quite the event. So I can't recommend that
enough. It seems like
it
goes by so fast. You get there and you see so many great people.
Yeah.
And you got so much going on. The food's great, and drinks at the bar, and bands playing, and it's a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to it, and I hope everybody can come. We've got sponsorships for that. It's kind of a little bit of a fundraiser too for us. We're doing a our lane sponsor. So if there's a business or a company or just individually, if you want to just invite a bunch of friends and have your own bowling lane for the night, you can go to our website and you can check out for more details there.
That is so much fun. Now, let's get back to the retreat.
Yeah.
The majority of them are going to be held at St. Joseph's Abbey. Am I right?
Most of our weekends are at the Abbey. We have one in July that's going to be at the Cynical at the Lake, at New Orleans Archdiocese Retreat Center.
Right.
And then, but for the most part, the rest of this year, we have 15 retreats scheduled for 2024. And I think it's 14 of the 15 will be at the St. Joseph Abbey Retreat Center. Just such a great facility. I love the accommodations. You know, when the flood happened in 2016.
Yeah.
Out in Baton Rouge, and it extended all the way in, you know, to Covington too.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of damage that the retreat center took on, but Will Woods Community put a really nice donation into upgrades, FEMA, other support, and so it really does one of the best accommodations for married couples that I've seen. And the food's fantastic.
Yep.
The grounds are holy. And we just actually had one this past weekend. What Most Holy Trinity was the sponsoring parish. So we had most couples from there. And then there were some couples from Baton Rouge that came out too. But it was a great weekend filled with just rest and rejuvenation and good food. It was such a blessed opportunity. I just hope that every couple can take time at least once a year to go on a married couples retreat and have that mountaintop experience together.
Well, and I can attest to that, because it's not one of those retreats where you have one thing after the other, and I don't feel like I was run ragged. I felt like there was plenty of time for just my wife and I, and it was so peaceful up there. That right there really felt like downtime, but we were spiritually enriched as well. Yes. What can they expect? What can somebody's hearing this for the first time, Jason, and says, I do. I just want to get away from my wife, with my wife, or with my husband, and I just want to get away for just a long weekend. Tell them what they can expect.
So maybe an easy way of saying this is your vacation from your vacation.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, whenever you go on a vacation, you have so much planned, so much going on. It's a lot of fun. It's, you know, all this stuff going on. Then at the end of it, you're like exhausted. You're like, what happened? You know, this is, I think what happens that our souls are crying out for rest. And I think that's what a retreat does. A retreat pulls you out of the noise. Like I tell couples, like even the guys, maybe they might relate to this. It's like halftime. Regardless of whether you're winning or losing, it's always good to get away from the noise, get in the locker room, what's working, what's not, and let's get back on the field and win the game.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of like what we get to do. We're so busy. We're so overscheduled. We're so overcommitted. We're so distracted and pulled in so many different directions. This is a place of rest.
Yes.
This is a place that our souls are made for. We get to find just great comfort. We get, there's obviously the food, the accommodation's good. Everything is all
taken care of. Oh, it really is.
Yeah. But more than that is there's this spiritual enrichment that takes place and a pace that where we allow the Lord to speak because he speaks in silence. And so if we haven't been giving God that silence, then it's hard for him to speak, right? Because that's where he speaks best, I think. I mean, he can speak any way that he wants, but he comes to us, as the Cure of Ours says, he speaks in silence. And so if we've made our schedule so busy, if we've made our lives so hectic, then we wonder why it's kind of hard for us maybe at times to hear the Lord, because I think we've kind of drowned him out in all the things that's going on. And so this is our invitation that just as the Lord did, the Lord Jesus himself, went to the mountaintop when the crowds would push in onto him. In Luke's gospel, Jesus would go to the mountaintop and spend time with the Father.
Yeah, well, I can't recommend it enough. My wife Lisa and I have been on a few, and we're going to keep going because you schedule it just the time of year. You schedule it yourself. You know, the couple does.
Yeah.
And I think it's important. I think it's very, very important to do. Jason, where do we go? Where do we go to get some more information and schedule a weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, you can call me. All the information is on the website. You can email me. But our website, I guess that'd be the easiest thing to get all the information that you need, contact and details, is faithandmarriage.org. So faithandmarriage.org.
Great. And you have openings on weekends that are coming up soon.
We do. We do. We have a couple open for the openings for the 18th and 19th. We have a little bit more for the 25th and 26th, but it is getting close. So definitely want to make sure that if somebody is interested, go ahead and put your name on it. I guarantee you will not regret the decision.
Amen. I agree. Jason Anzalet, thanks a bunch for joining us. Look forward to talking to you soon.
Absolutely. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for all that y'all do.
Sure thing. God bless.
Thanks, Jason.
God bless. Bye, y'all.
Gabby, it's you got to go. You got to do this. It's he's absolutely right. I love the idea. It's a vacation from a vacation, because suddenly you're there. They're in charge. You are not in charge. And but it's relaxed. You never feel rushed like I do. I've been on some retreats. It's like, be here at 6 a.m. You know, it's not that way at all. You know, so just beautiful.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
You need to look more into that. Yeah.
All right. Well, we shall close with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, who restores us to eternal life in the resurrection of Christ, grant your people constancy in faith and hope, that we may never doubt the promise of which we have learned from you. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Name of the Father, Son, amen. Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Dina Dow with the Diocese of Baton Rouge, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis, joins us. She will be talking about Mary in the month of May. Dr. Jordan Haddad with Notre Dame Seminary will continue our Catholic 101 segment. And Deacon Gerard Marie Anthony over at Holy Trinity Catholic Church in the Diocese of Arlington, Virginia, will talk about his new book, Peaceful Hearts, Zealous Hearts. And thank you so much to Jeff Blackwell, our wonderful audio director, and Karen Cotton, our amazing video technical director, for a great show today. Have a wonderful Tuesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.